I'm sure most of you out there know more about this young man than I do, Noah Hampton. He is a member at Oak Grove Missionary Baptist Church in Carroll County. And I'm going to take a stab at this. It's out somewhere near Spanish Grove. I know you just keep driving till you can't drive anymore. And you find this beautiful church out there in the country. It's just a beautiful setting, a beautiful church. And more importantly, a spirit-filled church. I've had the privilege to be there, and I thank the Lord for that. Noah is young in the ministry. He's just young, period, but young in the ministry. And I know he wants you to pray for him, and I want to encourage you to pray tonight. But more importantly, let's continue to pray for him, you know, as he continues in the ministry. I saw Robert Simmons at lunchtime after church today, and he said one thing about Noah Hampton. He said, you'll have to look up to him, and when he comes up here, you'll see what Robert meant. So pray for Noah. God bless you.
It is certainly good to be here once again. I hope if you've all come with a prayer on your hearts that the Lord's will be done tonight. It's not anything that I'm doing. It's not anything that anybody said here is going to persuade me to do. I'm going to do exactly what the Lord puts on my heart to preach, to say. I'm going to let His Spirit lead and let Him do exactly what He wants to do through me. If you've got your Bibles and you want to turn tonight in John's Gospel, chapter number 10, Jesus here is talking, and he's reading in a parable. The first six verses in the 10th chapter are a parable. And so John chapter 10, starting with verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the fold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, and goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." So Jesus here is talking, and he's talking to these people, and he's talking about sheep and doors and sheepfolds. And these people are like, "Man, we've got no clue what you're talking about." He's like, "We have no idea what you were talking about sheep and sheepfolds and this and that." And well, Jesus is like, "Well, if you'll listen, I'm going to tell you exactly what I mean." And it says, "Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Jesus is the door tonight. If you're lost and you don't have Jesus in your heart, and you know that you're going to a place called hell, or you don't know where your soul's going, then you're going to hell. If you're not sure if you're going to heaven or hell, then you're going to hell. And I'm not saying that. The Lord may have saved your soul a long time ago, but you're still lost because you don't know. It's something that needs to be 100% certain that you know where you're going. It needs to be something that you know exactly where you're going, no matter what happens to you. That if you died right now, you know exactly where you're going. And it's not just I'm 10% sure, I'm 90% sure, it's 100% sure. I'm 110% sure that I know exactly where I'm going when I die. If I fall out on the floor right now, it's okay. Carry me out of the church house. Be just fine. You take me on, throw me in the dumpster somewhere, I'm going to be much, much better off. Glory be to God. Because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that I could live by grace, faith, so I could be saved, so I wouldn't have to endure that place of burning fire and brimstone, so that I wouldn't have to be tied hand and foot behind my back and thrown into the fire. And you know, lost friend, you might be wondering, "Man, what's he talking about? What is he talking about being bound hands and feet?" You heard me right. Whenever the Lord casts you in the lake of fire, He's going to tie your hands and He's going to tie your feet up and right behind you, and He's going to throw you right in. You might be, "Preacher, that's not what I want to hear." I'm sorry, it's the truth. Because it says it in this book, and if it says it in this book, I'm going to preach it. I don't care if you're talking about gay marriage, abortion, I'm going to preach against it because it says it's not right in this book. Anybody wants to tell me otherwise, it ain't blood on my hands. There's no blood on my hands. There is no blood on this preacher's hands. It's between you and the Lord. If you want to stand up against me and you want to say that I'm wrong, you go right ahead, because you have more problems than I do, because I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do, and you're putting up against the Word of God. Some people want to say this. Some people want to say that. I'm telling you what the Word of God says tonight. So what Jesus is saying is here, He's saying, "I am the door of the sheep." We are the sheep. Each and every single one of us are the sheep. So we'll keep going. It says, "All that have ever," in the 8th verse of the 10th chapter of John, it says, All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, but by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture, or be nourished. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus is the door and he's the shepherd. He's the one that protects us. When you go through that door, you're saved. You know, tonight, you don't want to be a robber. You don't want to be a thief. You want to go exactly where the Lord wants you to go. You want to go through that door, and Jesus is the door. Jesus is the shepherd. He is the one that's going to tame you. He's in his flock. And I promise you, you want to be a part of that sheepfold tonight, because if you're a part of that sheepfold, then you're going to heaven. But if you're not, I'm sorry. I hate to tell you this, but you're going to hell. And I'm not saying that because I'm saying you're going to hell. I'm not saying that you're okay. You're not. I'm saying that because if you don't have that peace, that salvation, that being made alive, that from whenever you were dead in your sins, when the Lord convicted you and he showed you that you were going to a place called hell, when he showed you that, he showed you in here, he quickened you. And if you don't know what quicken means, it means made alive. The Bible uses quicken. The Bible says you, and you should be quickened, which means made alive. And have you been made alive? Or when you, I was at a point when I was dead in sin. There was a point whenever I was dead in sin, but the Lord quickened me. He made me alive. I was at home one day. I was stubborn. I was in myself. I didn't want to do what I wanted to do. What I wanted to do. I wanted to do it Noah's way, but it's not Noah's way. It's not the preacher's way. It's not Brother Stapleton's way. It's Jesus's way. There's nothing in this world that you can do. There's nothing in the world that mom and daddy, grandmama, your aunt, your uncle, I don't care. They can't do anything. All they can do is tell you what the Word of God says. And what you can do, lost friend, is follow the Spirit. That's all you can do. The Bible says to believe. The Bible says to believe on Him. Believe on Jesus Christ. And you have to want the kingdom of heaven more than anything in this world. More than anything you could possibly imagine. And when the Lord gets you to that point, He will save your soul. It's not something like I can get myself to that point. The Lord put thoughts in my head of, son, you can either do what you would have me to do and everything could be okay, or you're not, or you won't do what I want you to do, or you'll go to hell and you'll be in hellfire and brimstone for the rest of eternity. And the Lord put that on in me, and the Lord got me to that point where I was like, I don't care anymore. I don't care what has to happen. I don't care if I have to do this or do that. And the Lord brought me up, and He saved my soul by His grace, and glory to God. I don't have to worry about going to that place of hellfire and brimstone. I don't have to worry about going, if something happens to me, glory to God, I know exactly where I'm going when I die. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm not going to go to that place. And I'm asking you tonight, are you going to be bound hand and foot? Are you going to be bound hand and foot? Is the Lord dealing with you right now? Because if He is, why are you still sitting there? I don't understand, lost friend. If the Lord is going to deal with you, you need to be praying right now. Because when the Lord is dealing with you, He wants to save your soul. He wants to save your soul. Do you want to be a part of this sheepfold? And if we'll keep going, we'll go back to verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What did Jesus do? He gave his life for us. He gave his life for me and for you. And you're telling me that you can't pray in front of a couple people? You're telling me that you're more scared about what these people think? You're more worried about what you're going to do when you get home? What if you don't make it home? What if Jesus comes back right now? You don't understand. God could be in the middle of saying the words, go. He could be in the middle of telling Jesus to go get my children right now. And there's no more hope. There's none. You're without hope. You're without hope. And it's over. Yes, I do believe in the Bible somewhere. It talks about where I believe you might have a little bit of time. But I promise you, it's going to be so hard. You don't want to have to worry about that. You want to be prepared. You want to be ready to go. You want to know exactly where you're going. And if you don't tonight, there's an altar here. There's an altar there. But it's just not these two. It's anywhere that the Lord's leading you. These are just a secluded place. This is just a place. It can be anywhere. I don't know where it might be. It might be in that corner, that corner, that corner. I don't know. You go where the Lord wants you to go. The Spirit needs to lead. Just like I'm led of the Spirit right now. Nothing making myself look good or nothing my pride taking over. It's just the Spirit is filling me up. The Spirit is telling me what to do. The Spirit is doing this, doing that, telling me when I need to read, when I don't need to read, when I need to keep reading, what I need to say, what I don't need to say. Lost friend, saved friend, this altar is not just for the lost. It's for every single person. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're perfect, because you're not. The only part of you that's perfect is that inward man that's been saved, that's been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the one that came and was mocked and was beaten and was tortured for you and for me, so that you wouldn't have to endure the depths of hell forever and forevermore. And that's period. There's nothing else. There's nothing else in this world that matters except for your eternal security. If you don't know where you're going when you die, you're in the worst shape that you'll ever be in your life. Yes, I go through troubles and I every single day. But if I just ever sit down and get my own self out of the way and I'd look and I'd say, you know what, Lord, I ain't got a thing to worry about because I'm going to heaven when I die and I'm not going to remember a single bit of this when I get up there. I'm not going to have a thing to worry about. I'm going to be healthy. I know I'll know where I'm going when I die. And it doesn't matter if you're old, if you're young. If you're not saved, then you're not saved. And it doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're young, if you're 12, if you're 13. The Bible never specifies a certain age. The only thing that it ever talks about is the age of accountability. And the age of accountability is whenever you become accountable for your sins. Whenever the Lord reveals Himself to you and whenever He shows you, He's saying, you're going to a place called hell. You need to get this worked out right now. When He deals with you, that heart starts pounding. That heart starts pounding. You're like, man, I got to do something. You're like, man, I got to do something. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? That's whenever you got to pray. You got to get on your hands and knees, or you know what? Do whatever you got to do. If you need to go up and get up on the housetop, if you need to get on the on top of this church, you need to make your way to the top of the church. But let me tell you something: not the work that's going to save you. Getting on top of this church will not save you. As soon as you get up and you head for the door, He'll save you. And I'm not saying He'll save you. That's not me. I'm telling you, the Lord only wants you to be obedient. There's not a work that'll save you. Salvation is not of works. Ephesians gospel blotted that out just like that. Ephesians gospel took that out. Salvation is not of works. Salvation is by grace. Are you saved through faith? It's not of yourselves. It's not you. It's Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. I didn't say brother so-and-so. I didn't say brother this and that. Jesus Christ, the one, the only. I can't say it any clearer. I can't say it any plainer. It's not you. It's not mama. It's not daddy. And you can say, well, preacher, what do I do when I'm down there? Good thing. He'll tell you exactly what you have to do. I don't know what it might be, but once again, it's not a work. And you might be, and you know, like for me, you know, it talks in here about, there's so many places where it talks about salvation. And it talks about how eternal security is so important. How where you're going when you die is so important. And it always talks about you just got to believe in Him. You've got to trust in Him. You've got to have faith in Him. You've got to want that kingdom of heaven more than anything in this world. If you've got where you're going to go to eat after this on your mind, you're not in the right shape. And I'm not telling you that like I'm God or something. I'm just telling you that you're more worried about other things. And that's not right. If you're thinking about, well, tomorrow I'm going to go hang out with my friends, you're not in the right shape. If you're worried about a song playing, somebody saying something, you're not in the right shape. Once again, I don't care if you're 30, I don't care if you're 40. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, you need to make way to wherever He's leading. Because there's a reason. There's a reason. You could be the chain reaction that really gets this service going. You could be the one person. Whenever you move, it may lead for the Spirit to go to somebody else to do something. You may be the start of something great. You may be the start of the greatest service you've ever been involved in. You never know. That's why it's so important you follow the Spirit. And I hope that I do the same thing. The Lord tells me that I need to walk around right there and start preaching, then I'm going to walk around right there and start preaching. If He tells me to take just a few steps back, if He tells me to take a few steps forward, I know that might sound silly, it might sound childish, but you'd be surprised how the Lord works. You'd be very, very surprised how the Lord works. You never know. One little word I may say may help somebody out. One little word that the Lord gives me may help somebody out immensely. One little word that the Lord gives me might help somebody out so greatly that you can never even understand. One word. One word. You just never know. We'll keep going. And continuing with John chapter 10. Verse 12, it says, but he that is an hireling, and if you don't know what a hireling is, it's someone who works for a material reward. So it's somebody who works for money or works for this or that, things that are of the world, things that are not going to be in heaven that don't really matter. Because if it's really of the world, it does not matter. The only thing that really matters is your inward self. What is your eternal security? Once again, I'll say it 100 times. The only thing that really matters is where you're going when you die, the condition of your soul. That's all that matters. And you can have as much money as you want. Every single person could give me every single dollar that they have. It wouldn't matter because I could go right out here and I could die and it wouldn't matter a thing. But you know what will matter? The condition of my heart, the condition of my soul, that's what will matter. The Lord's not going to say, all right, how much money did you make me? He ain't going to say that. I promise you, I ain't going to say that. And I'm not saying it's wrong to have a good job and support your family and do this. But what's more important is your eternal security, your kids' eternal security, your mom's, your dad's. You may have a mom and dad that's lost. You may have some kids that are lost. You may have an uncle, an aunt. I've got family. I've got family that don't know the Lord, and it kills me. It absolutely kills me because they don't know where they're going when they die, and I love them so much. I do anything in the world to save them, but I can't save them. All I can do is tell them exactly what the Word says. I can't do anything for them. I've got my sister's lost. She don't know where she's going when she dies. I can't do a thing for her. I can talk to her till I'm blue in the face. I can talk to her till I'm just screaming at her. But there's not a thing I can do for her. I can't save her. If I could, I would. But I can't. It takes a perfect man to perform a perfect work. And y'all can talk to me after the service if you want to. Y'all can tell me how many perfect people you know. I only know one perfect person, and that's Jesus Christ, God and the Holy Spirit. And they're all three one, the Lord. That's it. That's all I know. I don't know if y'all know anybody else, but I'm telling you right now, it's Jesus and it's Jesus only. That's it. Period. It's not mama, it's not daddy, it's not your aunt, it's not your uncle. It's Jesus Christ himself. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Does he know you? Does he know? Does the shepherd Jesus Christ know you tonight? Does he know you? It doesn't matter if we're here till 1 o'clock in the morning. If somebody's praying on this altar, I'll be right here. Not that I can do anything for them, but we need to be here praying with them. If you need to pray for 15 hours, you pray for 15 hours. If you need to pray for how long you got to pray, you pray. You do exactly what the Lord leads you to do because there's a reason for it. There is a reason that he wants you to do something. I don't care what it is. It may be this or that. You'd be so amazed how I get thoughts from messages. You'd be so amazed how the Lord leads me to know what I need to preach about. You'd be amazed what the Lord does. It might be just a little thing. I may not even really know, but it might be something as listening to a song, and I'll be like, well, that's funny, and I'll study it out. And I'll end up making a big loop in the Bible. I'll find myself here, and I'll end up right back there. I'll make one big circle. And it's funny how the Lord works, how he works like that, how he'll take you here, and then you'll go here. You'll go to point A, you go to point B, you go to C, then you'll go right back to A. Because that's how God works. That's exactly how he works. You'll go in one big circle. And that's what's so good about it. Because you'll be like, man, I don't know what this means. What, Lord, what in the world are you trying to tell me? And then it'll go right back to the beginning. You'll be like, oh, so that's what you mean. And that's whenever you've got to stuff down that pride and be like, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't know that that's what you meant by that. It's my bad. So tonight, who is your shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd? You don't want to be a robber. You don't want to be a thief. Because I promise you, them robbers and them thieves are not going to get into the kingdom of heaven. But if you're a part of that sheepfold with Jesus, you got a thing to worry about. You don't have a thing in this world to worry about. The only thing you need to be worried about is telling people about what the Lord did for you. Telling people about what Jesus did for you. Telling this world, telling this lost, in this forgotten world that is absolutely terrible, that is full of sin and envy and strife and debate and everything. We got to stay away from them. Stay away from them. And I can't tell you what's okay and what's not okay. I can't tell you what God's okay with and what he's not okay in your life. That's your business. I can't tell you, but I can tell you one thing. I can tell you what this word says. And if it goes against this word, then it's wrong. I don't care if it's gay marriage. I don't care if it's abortion. It is against this word. And I will preach on it and I will stand on it. You throw me out if you want to. I'm not saying y'all in particular. I'm saying if a church wants to say that I'm wrong, they throw me out. I don't care. I will preach this the day I die, and I'll die by it if I have to. I'm sure sometime along the way, I'm saying that now, but I'm sure my pride will take over and my flesh will take over and I'll get scared. But I'm telling you, I will tell the truth. I will say the truth. I will say exactly what needs to be said. And you need to be like that when you go to work, when you're at a ball game, when you're at something and somebody wants to say something, when somebody wants to say something that is completely wrong and biblically incorrect, that's when you got to look at them and say, well, have you ever read Romans Gospel, chapter 8, whatever? Well, are you a part of that sheepfold that Jesus was talking about in John's Gospel, chapter 10? Have you ever read Leviticus and read about gay marriage and how it's wrong? Have you ever read that? It'll get them thinking. They won't agree with you, but it'll get them thinking. If they disagree with you all they want, they'll do this and they'll do that. But I promise you, you'll get them thinking. And the Lord's going to give them a chance. The Lord will give them a chance if he hasn't already. Disobey God or you can obey him and follow him. That's your choice. He'll give you free will. I promise you he'll give you free will. But I promise you, you do not want to put the Lord away. You do not want to put the Lord away. You do not want to do that because you know what's going to happen when you do? When he deals, when he's knocking on that heart's door, son, I want to save your soul. and you put him away, that's blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. You know what the Bible says about that? He'll put you away. He'll let you play games. He ain't playing around. He ain't playing around. He wasn't playing around when he sent his son. He wasn't just playing around so he could watch his son die on a cross. So he could watch people beat his son. He wasn't playing around so he could watch people put nails, put thorns, whip him, roll dice on his garments to see which of the soldiers would get his garments. He wasn't playing. God's not playing around. Jesus is not playing around. He didn't do it for nothing. He did it for you. He did it for me. That's why I'm up here tonight, to glorify about him. I'm not doing it so I can be up here and look pretty and friendly and to say a couple words. I'm up here saying this because Jesus saved my soul, and I'm trying to do him a little bit of a favor. I'm trying to spread his gospel, spread his truth of what he's called me to do. I'm not up here doing this because I want to. I'm not doing it for money. I'm not doing it for a salary, and nobody in this world is doing it for a salary or for money. There ain't nobody the money that can pay for this right here. I get more blessings out of the Lord filling me up, making my bones fat, making that. And it talks about that in the Word. It talks about making your bones fat when he fills you up, whenever he fills that soul that's in drought. It talks about that. If you don't believe me, I'll show you. I get more blessings out of money or whatever. Now, yes, my flesh enjoys it. My flesh enjoys that, but that's when I got to take a step back and I got to say, oh, I'm not doing it for that. Because there's nothing in this world that's worth peace. There's nothing in this world that's worth that peace. Lost friend tonight, there is nothing in this world that is worth your peace. There is nothing in this world that is worth that feeling of just, oh man, I know where I'm going when I die. There's nothing in this world worth that. Not what somebody thinks, not what amount of money, not nothing, not your pride. Why can't you put down your pride for just 1 minute? Why can't you, when the Lord is dealing with you, can you not just put away your pride, get out of yourself and just pray to him? The Bible says you just got to believe in him. You got to believe in him. And you know, it's not like you accept, believe, confess. No. You have to follow the Spirit. You have to do exactly what the Lord is leading you to do. It's not like you're reading a textbook and you're taking a test. It's something that you have to be led by the Spirit. You know, I don't give an altar call. I don't give an invitation for somebody to come down here and to pray. I can't tell somebody, okay, if you'll say this prayer, you'll be just fine. I can't say that. I cannot do that. That is not in my power. This altar is just one. There's altars everywhere in here. I have an altar at home, the one that I was saved on. It was just a chair. It's just a place. The altar didn't save me. The man behind the drawing, the man behind the conviction, the man behind this, the man behind the thoughts that he gave me, that eternity, the thoughts that he put on my heart of, son, you're going to go to a place called hell if you don't truly just give it all to me. That is who you need to follow, that Spirit. You might think it's crazy in that corner over there and pray. He wants to see if you're being obedient. I promise you, you want to be obedient tonight. Be obedient. Save friend. Lost friend. I don't care if you're not sure, if you don't know. When the Lord is dealing with your heart, follow him. Because you want to be a part of that sheepfold. You want him to be your shepherd. You want to walk through that door. You don't want to be a robber. You don't want to be a thief. You don't. I promise. Hell is not pretty. I promise. 14th verse, we'll go back over it. It says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What that last verse means, Jesus let them take him. Jesus let the soldiers kill him. They let him. He talks in the Bible about how there was a legion of angels. I think it was 72,000 angels ready to come get Jesus. All he had to do would have I don't know. I mean, it would have been as simple as thinking it and they could have come. Think about that. He let them do that. He let them torture him for you. I'm talking to every single person in here. He did that for you. And you're telling me you don't have the guts to get up and say something for God? That you don't have, that you want to let your pride take over and you don't want to come to this altar? That you don't want to pray at your seat? Because you're so pride and you're so selfish in you that you're more worried about what people think over God? A man that gave his son? A man that gave... I want you to think, if you've got any children in here, think about how hard it would be to give your son for people that were going to hate him. To give your son to people that were going to hate him and beat him and mock him and torture him. He gave... God gave Jesus for people that were going to hate him. He already knew they were going to hate him. And he still gave Jesus for them. Think about that. If somebody walked in here right now, worst crooked, murdered, worst criminal you've ever seen in your life, done everything bad from A to B or A to Z, could you give your child for them? That's what God did. That's what God did for you. For every single person sitting in a pew tonight, for every single person in this world that ever was, He did it for them. If you couldn't do it, just imagine how much God loves you so where He would do it. That's how much He loves you. And He loved those people, those worst crooks, those criminals. He doesn't want them to endure hell. How much does that say how bad hell is? If He would do it for the worst of the worst, think about how bad that place is. Think about it. It wasn't made for us. It was made for the devil and his angels. And there ain't no getting out. And God's and Jesus is coming back soon, I'm telling you. He's coming back soon. You may not want to hear it. It's the truth. He's coming back soon. Look at the signs of the times. Read the Bible. Read Revelations. Read about the end times. It's coming quicker than you think. I can guarantee you there ain't one of, myself included. I'm not just talking. I'm talking about myself too. How many of y'all really think that the Lord could come back tonight? A lot of times we don't think about that. We're like, oh, we'll have tomorrow. We make plans. We do this. We do that. We don't know. We don't even have the next second without Jesus. Where will you be if He comes back tonight? If He comes back tonight... I don't care if you feel like you're close to God. I don't care if you feel like you're okay. If you feel like I don't really have an experience. I don't really have think I have salvation, but I think I'm okay. I don't care. That is something that is so serious, that is so imperative. You want Him to be your shepherd. It says it right here in the 16th verse. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. There's other sheep out here. There's other ones out here that really know the Lord. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. There's one fold. Every single sheep, it may not be gathered in here right now, but they're scattered across this world, whether it be in different countries, different states. They're scattered. They're everywhere. But there's one. There's one right now. It just hasn't come together. Are you a part of that one fold? It's so imperative. It's so serious. You don't understand. Jesus could come back right now. He could be on His way right now. And it's going to be too late. You're going to wish you had another chance. So whenever that devil puts that thought in your head, man, I'll just wait till tomorrow. I'll just wait till I get another chance. I'll wait till there ain't nobody around. You're treading on thin ice and you're about to fall through. It's serious business. It's not a joke. It's not something that can just be played with. There's people out here dying. One of my buddies just lost an uncle. One of my best friends in this world just lost an uncle. And I had to look him, I couldn't look him in the face and say, he's fine, he's in a better place. Because I don't know. I don't know the condition of his soul. I don't know if he was ever saved, if he ever went to church. I pray he did. And this is a terrible thing. This is awful. But I hope that they don't have false hope where he went. Whenever somebody has false hope, if he really wasn't saved, if he really didn't know the Lord, and they take for granted what he had as something that's right when it's not right, then that's just deceiving more people. And I hate that. I hate that. And that's terrible. But I'd rather people understand what the truth is than to be deceived and be lied and be comforted now. You don't want to be comforted now. We need to be tried right now. We need to be discomforted right now. When somebody tells you, when we go out in this world and we tell people the truth, the King James Version of this Bible, we tell people the truth. When we tell them the truth, it may backlash on us. It may take us down. They may come at us. But I promise you, we're going to have our victory. If you're truly saved and you're born again, you're doing exactly what you need to be doing for the Lord, you're going to have your victory. You're going to have your time. Because when Jesus comes back, you're going to be right by His side. And I promise you, you can read Revelation from beginning to end. But in the very end, He wins. Every single time. There's no if, and, or buts about it. He wins every time. The devil's going to have his time on this earth. He's going to be loose for a little season. And he's going to do the good stuff around here. But let me tell you, Jesus wins. The Lord wins. And you want to be on the winning side. You want to be in that sheepfold. Shepherd Jesus, because there's nobody that can protect you like Him. And there is nobody in this universe that can protect you from that place of hell. Nobody except for Jesus Christ Himself. That's why it's so imperative that we tell the truth, that we tell the world what the Lord has done for us. If you want to be getting a song, whatever. This altar does not, this altar never closes. It never opens. It never closes. I don't give an invitation. I don't do this. Hey, you can, people can come up here and give a song. But can come up here and do whatever they want to do. But if the Lord is dealing with you, you don't wait on the song. If He's dealing with you right now, come. If He's still dealing with you, come now. I don't know. I'm not saying that you are lost or He is dealing with you. But I don't give invitation. This song that the brother is about to sing does not give invitation. Yes, it is a time we set aside to kind of give an invitation. But when the Lord deals, that's the invitation. That is the invitation. It's not 10 minutes ago. It's whenever He's dealing with you. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today.